Hello, and welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your prescription for happier, healthier homeschooling. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Let's get started. Hey, homeschoolers. One of the top concerns we have as homeschooling parents is raising children of character. It isn't enough to just raise smart children. We want our kids to evidence the fruit of the Spirit. But is there anything we can do to aid character growth apart from praying? My guest today would say yes. Sean Allen is the founder of The Well-Ordered Parent. He is husband to his beautiful bride, Carolyn, and a proud father of seven. He has a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Graphic Design and is continually working on creating materials that assist families in the beautifully hard work of discipling their children. That includes their popular character training program, Character Badges. Sean speaks about the adventures, joys, and challenges of parenting at homeschool conventions across the country, and also on the soon-to-be-released podcast, The Well-Ordered Parent. I know you'll find Sean to be warm, funny, and grace-oriented, just as I did.
Sean, thank you so much for joining me here on the Homeschool Sanity Show. I would love to start by having you tell us more about you and your family, and also why you chose to homeschool.
Sure. Thank you for having me on, first of all. About my family is we live in Missouri. My wife and I, we have seven children. And we live together all the time. I work from home, my wife works from home, and we homeschool. So we're always together, which is a challenge, but somehow we make it work. We actually enjoy it. It's not to say that there aren't challenges, but we like being together all the time as much as we can. So, and about homeschooling, to be quite honest with you, I didn't even know what homeschooling was. Growing up, I don't think I'd ever heard of it until I met my wife, my future wife. And she was homeschooled her whole life, her and her sister, her brother. And so she introduced me to it. And I think the idea of it just kind of hit me, you know, like a lightning bolt. Like, well, that makes perfect sense. So that's why we homeschool. My wife is why we homeschool.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with it, though. We love that, too.
That's wonderful. I am in the same situation as you. We are home together all the time. And in current circumstances, as we record this, we and so much of the world are in a shelter-in-place situation, and it's made it a lot easier for us to adapt to that because we're experienced.
Exactly.
Right. Well, today we want to talk about our parenting, and you know, now more than ever that matters, right? And for so many people. So if you're a homeschooling family and you feel like you've grown in your parenting and you have friends who are now dealing with children in their home 24/7, you might want to share this podcast with them, because it doesn't just come naturally, right? When we're used to having the kids out of the house for hours at a time, it can really be difficult. I mean, even for homeschoolers who are used to having their kids in classes and activities and all of that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk with you about what are some of the hardest things about being a parent today, do you think?
Oh, it's probably the same thing it's been that way forever, you know. I think it sounds simple, but I think one of the biggest challenges of being a parent is that we're so much different than they are in many respects. You know, we've moved on from a lot of things that they're going through, and we tend to lose touch with where they are. And it doesn't take, it's not too hard to put yourself back in their shoes and see the world through their eyes. And what we like to talk about is how our value systems are a little different. In some respects, very different. Like, for instance, you know, we understand the value of things. We like clean rooms, you know, we don't like messes, those sorts of things. And they, most of them could care less, you know. So it's the you know, there's a diversity there, and trying to bridge that gap is frustrating for parents. You know, when I ask you to do the dishes and you, you know, they melt into a heap of tears. But to you, it's like, you know, doing the dishes is not that big of a deal. I mean, you've done it a thousand times. Well, it's different for them. So that's frustrating because we don't usually have the patience to want to have to walk them through how to do the dishes. Mm-hmm. We just want them to do it so we can get that task out of our hair, right? And we can move on to the next thing. So patience is one big, huge challenge. I hate to say it, but selfishness is another. I mean, I didn't really know how selfish I was until I had children. And then the next one came, the next one. And every child I've had, there's a new layer of selfishness there that I've had to uncover. So those are just a few things that come to my mind. But
I think that is really, really good. You know, you were talking about doing the dishes, and we just had a family discussion last night that we have a chart of who unloads the dishwasher each day, okay? And the kids were admitting that they spend 5 minutes arguing over whose turn it really is when it takes 2 minutes to unload the dishwasher.
Exactly.
But I love how you characterize that, you know, their value system, what does that say about my kids' value system? Fairness is what matters most
yes.
to them, not having an unloaded dishwasher.
Yes. Yes. And being able to get on to their own time and do their own things. You know, they.
Yes.
Folding the laundry is the same way. I mean, to uh-huh. us, it's no big deal, or making your bed. I mean, we can get that done in 2 minutes. But to them, it takes longer because not only are they not as good at it, but they also don't see the value in it. So
right.
I'm sleeping in this bed tonight. Why do I need to make it? I could just throw my clothes in the drawer and just as easily pull them out. Why do I need to fold them? I'd rather go outside and play. You know, that's mm-hmm. That's what they value. So that's frustrating to us. But, you know, we were there too. We
right.
we went through that same process that they did.
Yeah.
And we moved on. So it's hard to bridge that gap sometimes. So. Mm.
I really like that because, you know, I talk with a lot of parents who they think that their children should do things, you know, yeah. that's the right thing. And so they should. And so the way that you have presented it, it makes me think of us being like missionaries to yeah. our kids, you know, and when you're a missionary in another culture, you have to understand that culture and their value system mm-hmm. in order to bridge that gap, as mm-hmm. you say, and help them understand that these things are important for different reasons than they have.
Exactly.
that is so good. And boy, on selfishness, I so get it. And, you know, selfishness was beaten out of me by my kids and pride has been beaten out of me by my kids. And they continue to do a work on me in those areas. And, you know, praise God for that. You know, yeah. I mean, I think about what kind of person I would be if not for my children. And I'm so grateful for the character that they have been building in me.
Yes. Yes.
So one of the other areas that is a struggle for parents and absolutely has been a struggle for me is consistency
yep.
in parenting, whether that's consistency in being a disciplinarian, whether it's consistency in doing the things that I said I was going to do with my kids. You know, can you tell us, why do you think that is so challenging for us as parents?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. There's two sides to that coin. I think a lot of times we think of it from, you know, the angle of discipline, like you mentioned, you know, following through on the things that you said you were going to do, because again, you know, life gets in the way. And you talked about being a missionary. A lot of parents, I think they go at this parenting thing from the angle of I'm the employer and you're my employee. and that would work in a business setting, right? Because I paid you to do a job and all I should have to do is ask you to do it. And in exchange, I give you money. Children aren't like that. Right. Because they and I've tried this before and having that lecture, you know, like you don't do a job when you grow up, you're going to get fired. And they're just, what? you know.
So true.
They still don't get it, right? So it doesn't work like that. So you know, that consistency is not only do you have to tell them, but you've got to show them. And that is where I found that stuff really starts to click. And, you know, instead of telling them to clean their room, particularly when they're younger, go in there and clean it with them. And, you know, they were staring at that big heavy box that they know needs to go up on the top shelf of their closet. And they're not, how am I going to get that up there? And you, whoosh, you came in and picked it up and just tossed it up there. And they're just in awe, you know, like, wow, that was so easy. And it just lights up their life, you know. And what I've found is that if you do that consistently, it's not going to take one time or two times or three times. There's a consistent routine there. Eventually something will click, you know, mm-hmm. something will click with them. Like, I actually start to like this stuff. I'm actually liking a clean room now. And they take ownership of that. And that, you know, clean rooms are just an example. You could do that with character qualities too, like kindness and selflessness and things like that. So consistency is so key. And you have to be living it too. They need to see it in your life. So
yeah. What has been the biggest challenge for you in consistency in your parenting?
Yeah, it just getting back to letting my life get in the way and treating them like little employees, I think. Like, if you could clean the living room, if you could sweep the kitchen, if you could do the dishes, that means I don't have to do that, and then I can get on with my life. So thank you very much. And by the way, this is free.
Oh, you're cracking me up. It's so true. It really is so true. And, you know, I think, you know, part of what you're saying there that I always want to communicate to parents is that, you know, children are at a different developmental level. It's not even necessarily sin, although, yes, our children are sinful as we are, but they also aren't able to, you know, project into the future the way that we can. So, you know, like you were saying, oh, you know, when you have a job, your employer is going to fire you. And they don't picture that. They're wondering what's for dinner. So I think that is just so excellent. And, you know, and I think what you're also saying without using words is that we need to have a sense of humor about all of this. And our kids respect that so much. And then they take themselves less seriously. They're able to laugh at themselves. And boy, that sense of humor has gotten us through some challenging times. That's sure. Yeah,
absolutely. I think what you just said there was so, I think that was beautiful. You know, thinking about like the sinful aspect of our children, which like you said, it is there, but in most instances, probably not to the degree that we make it out to be. Like when they don't, you know, like lying, for instance, is terrible. You know, if you've grown up around that and it can do a lot of damage in a person's life, it can destroy your life. Most of them don't get that just right off the bat, and they have to learn it. But when they lie or haul off and hit somebody for the first time, to us, that's like, ugh, you're a horrible person for having done that. And they're not. Yeah, they haven't developed a sense of that yet. And we got to help them acquire that. So sometimes we can do kind of shoot ourselves in the foot by our overreaction to those things, because if that was us and we had done that, yeah, that's different. That is a little more serious, but they need to grow, you know, in an understanding of that. So I've made some big mistakes in that area too, you know, with my children overreacting, and then they, you know, it's almost like that does more damage than what the thing that they just did, you know, the way that I've reacted to it, and it hurts them. So
absolutely. And, you know, with lying, I realized at a certain point in my parenting that I was basically goading my children to lie, you know, instead of, you know, constantly asking them to tell me the truth. I knew they were lying, you know? So why am I prompting them to, you know, continue to lie? Because of course they're going to protect themselves. They're afraid of what the consequence is going to be. And so I think that is so important too. And I loved what you said about, you know, our reaction to it. At one point, my oldest came to me and he said, "Mom, if the kids see anything inappropriate on the computer, they're not going to tell you because you are going to freak out and they know that." And, you know, that was a good word for me. And so then I just, you know, I really tamed down my, you know, my approach to that and just explained it more as, you know, something that we all encounter inappropriate material, not just on the computer, but in life. And how do we respond to that? And being in a complete panic is not the best way to respond to that.
Yes. That's excellent. And I don't know if I'm correct on this, but I see this like two generations ago, it seemed like a lot of people grew up in a society where their parents were like, "You're going to church, you know, I don't care what you say, even we have to pull you by the hair, you're going to church." Or, "We just don't do those things, and we don't even speak about those things," even while those things are going on in the background. And your young people weren't saying anything about it because their parents, like you said, would freak out. And it's more of an issue of pride in that, "Don't embarrass me and don't embarrass my family." And so, and then, but that doesn't really deal with the problem. And the young people don't see their parents as confidants, you know, or as counselors or helpers, you know. It needs to be dealt with, and it is serious and grave. But like you said, the reaction to it can really, you know, hinder development in that area, I guess you'd say, or improvement.
Absolutely. And I love that you, you know, you're talking about that, because we can apply that to, you know, every area of our kids' lives and their character. We can just overreact, you know, whether, you know, I've had parents tell me, "Oh, my child lied. They lied." And like you're saying, children have no background
with
lying. They don't have all these terrible experiences that you might have had.
Right.
So they're just confused by our very powerful emotions in response to that. And I also love that you are suggesting that denial is very damaging. And I believe that 100%. So many parents who come to me with very serious problems in their family, you know, they're wanting a diagnosis. "Oh, you know, is my child bipolar?" And that explains everything, you know?
Yeah.
And when I have direct knowledge of the workings of the family, 9 times out of 10, there is denial happening. Instead of addressing, you know, "Dad is an alcoholic.
Yes.
And we need to talk about this as a family." We just look for some kind of an explanation where there's a medication or there's a treatment without talking about the real issue.
Yes.
So it's hard.
It is very hard.
But it needs to happen.
And there's no doubt that children have their own individual personalities and they come out of the womb like that, which is a miracle thing that we don't have time to talk about. But at the same time, I can't tell you how many times I've realized that the issues in my child's life are somehow attributable to my issues, or that they've seen me do that, or that because of my overreaction, I've made it worse. And or that I've scolded them for doing something that I'm doing, you know, that the words just come out of your mouth and they turn around and stare you in the face. Like, well, you know, you're doing that in an adult way, and it's hard. And it kind of humbles you and helps you not to maybe be a little more compassionate, you know, towards them and their struggles. Not to say they don't need to be dealt with, but that denial can be very, it can really hamper, you know, that process of growth. So
right. Oh, that is so good. So let's say I am struggling because of my own character issues to be consistent. Let's say not not with discipline, but, you know, I'm always promising my kids that we're going to do something. We're going to play a board game. We're going to, we're finally going to make an apple pie, which in my family is a big production because it requires so many apples to be peeled, things like that. And, you know, my tendency is to, oh, we'll do it later. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it next week, whatever. So how can I work on consistency in myself and in my parenting?
Oh my, it's just, well, you said it earlier, you know, it's like they're as much for us as we are for them. And when I was a new father, I didn't think about the them to me aspect of raising a child. It was more, you need me and I'm the father. So, you know, you have to get on your knees and ask the Lord for help, you know, in that respect, that help me to be consistent, help me to say what I mean and mean what I say. You know, a lot of times when you're angry and you're correcting them, and maybe it's in the, you know, the heat of the moment, you throw something out there that's just totally nuts. Like, you're grounded from going to grandma's house for the rest of your life. You know, I don't know. It's just crazy stuff. But you don't really mean that. And like you said, the flip side of that is, you know, we're going to do this, or you might even throw out a reward. Like, you're so exasperated, like, please do the dishes. And if you do, we'll do this. And you don't even mean that. Mm-hmm. And so that's, if, for children, you know, particularly younger ones, you, in many respects, you are their true north. You know, you're the one constant thing in their life, and they need to be able to rely on you and believe what you say. And that confidence and that trust can erode over time. And it's sad to see that, especially when, you know, they get into the teen years and they've had such a lengthy experience of, well, dad doesn't really follow through on his word, and they don't believe you anymore. And so they start to look for another true north. You know, they look for something that they can believe in and trust and lean on. And if that's not you, that's, you know, that's a dangerous place, you know, for your children to be. So how do you work on that? They need it and you need it. That's the hard thing about it, is you need to be consistent and they need to be consistent, but it's hard for them to do that if they don't see it in you. So
Wow.
Not to say that they can't, because I've seen children who have far outpaced their parents, you know, and they've just got a blessing on them. They've in some area or another, but it's our job, you know, to help them as much as we can.
Mm. Well, that was very powerful. You know, sometimes when I have been struggling to make a change, it's not about the mechanics of it. It's not about, well, I just need a journal or I need an app or something like that. It's sometimes I just need the inspiration.
Yes.
And I think you just provided that. That was profound, that we are our children's true north. And if they can't trust in us and rely on us, that they're going to look for another true north. Wow. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. Well, Sean, I want to learn more about the Well-Ordered Parent.
Yeah.
That is your business, your platform. Can you tell us what its purpose is and why you started that?
Well, I'd say we'd have a little crash course on it here today already. You know, some of the things we've talked about. I feel like my wife and I, we went through the school of hard knocks in raising children, and all those lessons we've learned along the way. I think the Well-Ordered Parent is our attempt at counseling our younger selves.
Okay.
You know, if we had the opportunity to go back and say, do this, don't do that, that's what the Well-Ordered Parent is. And we see a lot of parents who are like we were, and it's understandable. And we just want to speak to those parents. You know, we don't want them making the same mistakes that we made, because your children, that time with your children is too fleeting and too precious. It just, you know this, and I'm learning this, and, you know, I'm learning it more every day. It goes by so fast. And you know, it'll never be the same again. And every season is precious. And so that's the Well-Ordered Parent is, I think, an attempt at helping parents, you know, maximize their opportunity to bless the life of their child, to influence it for good, and to also just relish the time, this very special time that you have with your 3-year-old, your 8-year-old, your 13-year-old, you know, it's all unique. So that's, I guess that's in a nutshell.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I absolutely agree. I used to be really grieving over, you know, my kids moving from one phase of life to the next, because it's like, oh, you know, I'm never going to be with that 3-year-old again because now you're 21.
Yeah.
But there are blessings to each and every season, I have found, and I don't want to miss this season's blessings by looking back at the past. So I love that. Okay, so the other thing that you do, that you provide for parents to help them in raising their children, is character badges. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me where that idea came from and how that works?
Sure. Yeah. Character badges was another one of those products that we needed. And this was, you know, I'd say 8 years ago or so. And I think 8 or 9 years, we had 4 children at the time. And we were just really struggling with consistency. And I'm trying to make this long story short here, but we came out of a period where all we did was correct misbehavior. We felt like that was the key to obedience. Like, if we can just cull all the misbehavior, then we're going to have godly children. And then we woke up and realized that was not the case. And we were just kind of at a loss as to what to do. So you went from clamping down on everything to clamping down on almost nothing, because we felt guilty about how harsh we had been. Mm. And we'd swung to the opposite extreme. We thought, we've got to do something. We want to praise and encourage our children for their good efforts. You know, we want to mean what we say and say what we do and all that sort of thing. And so we came up with character badges, which is kind of a 2-part system with charts, and there's rewards attached to consistent behavior on their part. And, you know, you can set up their chores and their habit building exercises. You know, if you want them to, you know, be in their scriptures more, if you want them to get up on time, if you want them to clean their room more consistently, things like that. And then you can focus on one character quality a month. So say for this month, we're going to focus on diligence or cheerfulness or respectfulness or something of that sort. So it was really as much for my wife and I as it was for our children.
Right.
But it's going to help us to commit to blessing them and encouraging them when they do make good efforts, you know, to maintain the standards that we've set up in our home. So that's really where that came from.
Oh, I love that. Now, do you have materials that help you to focus on a particular trait?
Yes, we do. We're still working on the curriculum side of it. You know, there's stuff that we hope to come up with in the future, because a lot of people have said, this is great, but can you tell me what cheerfulness is and how can we exhibit it? So, a little light on that side of it. But there are so many good materials out there that we found from other companies too.
Okay.
But no, this is more of a system that you can put into place, a rewards and a correction type system. So,
okay. Well, I love it. I wonder if it works with adults living in your home. We might need to do that.
We've had quite a few ladies come by our booth at homeschool conventions and say, do you have any of these for husbands?
Now, I wasn't even thinking about my poor husband. But, you know, I think, you know, on a serious note, I really do think that you could have everyone in your family focused on a particular area for a month. And I think it would be fruitful to do that. So, well, this has just been wonderful. I have enjoyed getting to know you. We are fellow Missourians.
Yes.
Fellow parents of large families who homeschool. So this has been a joy. How can my listeners connect with you online? Where can they find you?
They can find us at thewellorderedparent.com. And we're working on getting a podcast up here soon. We don't have that up yet, but so that's where we are.
Yeah, but I'm sure they will be able to find that podcast at your website, wellorderedparent.com, when that's available.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I hope that this time of sheltering in continues to be a time where we can all grow closer to our families.
Yes, absolutely. Well said. Thank you very much.
To learn more about character badges and other resources Sean makes available, go to homeschoolsanity.com/children's character. Join me next time as I discuss how to incorporate hands-on learning with Penny Mays. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me. Happy, healthy homeschooling can be yours. It begins with one small step. Let's continue the conversation on social media. I'm at PsychoWith6. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.